B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
In the moment. I think he's really one that has to reflect back, think about all the decisions he's going to make. Like the Al Horford thing. Like, dude, we talked about that in late November as a show. He had to give Al Horford all the rope in the world to hang himself.
Right, but
before he made that decision. It was the same thing with Neto the other night. Like, I was watching the game and I'm going, dude, they're literally just attacking him nonstop. He's like the J.J. Redick on defense right now. Get him out. Put Alec Burks in. And I don't think he's able to identify the problem in the moment. I think he probably went back and watched that film and was like, yeah, Neto really can't play right now.
Well, so it didn't even dawn on me. Like, Burks comes in the game after Simmons leaves. And I'm thinking, all right, good. This is the guy coming. And we didn't know Ben Simmons was... We didn't know whether or not he was going to come back at that point. Because he got out of the game, ran off the court, into the locker room, and that was the last
and
we
Bob
saw
Bob raised a fair point in the 5 o'clock hour. Apparently the plan was, even if he played the whole game, that he was going to have to go back to the locker room for treatments, for massages, heating pads, whatever the hell it was, throughout the course of the game. So, yeah, at that point, we didn't know.
Yeah, and they talked about that on the broadcast as well. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's the plan?
Well, yeah, that's another whole bag of peanuts.
What the hell? Like, that's your...
I guess they were going to massage him out, like, when he was taking his couple-minute break. You know, he comes out usually about the 8-9 minute mark of the first. So I guess they were planning it so he would run back and get a massage on there and maybe heat or whatever.
That
I don't know.
But if that's the case,
why is he playing?
He's your two-time, exactly. He's your two-time all-star point guard. You saw how much the wheels fall off the wagon when he's not in the game, and you want to treat him as he goes? Why not just let him get healthy?
Back plaster.
What?
Yeah, man. Back plasters. Life changing.
Oh, yeah?
Well, yeah.
How do you apply it?
Well, you put some tough skin.
Okay.
And then you take the, you peel the little layer off of it and you just apply it onto the back. Bang. Yeah, there it is.
Was it a heating pad? What is
that? Oh, yeah. It's just beautiful. I took a couple just in case, you know, anytime I want to go out and play a round of golf or something and I need a back plaster. Tell the missus, hey, babe, put some tough skin on my back end. Tape it on. Let's go. Here we go.
You pick it up at a local pharmacy? Where do you get that?
Not really sure.
Oh,
it just automatically appears at the Thomas House.
Yeah, just, you know, I go over there to the Eagles facility every now and then.
There's this guy in Camden who has it in his van. And
a
I buy it.
Back plasters I can possibly take.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And I am looking forward to seeing what this Sixers team can do with a different head coach. And I've been out on Brett Brown since the Matisse Thybulle incident in Miami that still has me scratching my head. I still don't know if he can run this team. Now, he's going to get, as we've talked about, he's going to get the season. You're not going to fire him with 25 games left in the year. But I can't understand how it is that he can't figure out the rotation off the bench after Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid leave the game. Aside from Brett Brown, I can't figure out how Joel Embiid could put the spotlight on himself, the magnifying glass on himself, and then all of a sudden turtle up in a big moment like was Saturday night against the Bucks. And I can't understand how a guy like Al Horford has just hit this wall this season. And Jamie just mentioned his name, and it was the first time we talked about it. Like, his defense wasn't awful against the Bucks, but it wasn't the reason you got him. The reason you got him was to be shut down defender in a game against the Bucks. And the Sixers were supposed to be a great matchup against the Bucks. They weren't in this game. And I understand a lot of it had to do with Ben Simmons being out. I understand a lot of it had to do with Tobias Harris tweaking a knee. And we'll see how long, if he misses a substantial amount of time. But this team is nowhere near, especially in this game, nowhere near as talented as you thought they would be. And the one guy you thought you could rely on in this game, Joel Embiid, played one of his worst games of the season. And you might say, oh, one of the worst games of the season, 17 points, 11 rebounds. That's not too terrible. For a guy that just labeled himself a superstar, best player in the world, he in no way, shape, or form lived up to his own billing. So, hey, I was laughing along with all this stuff with the shush and the shut the bleep up and, you know, being the troll that he is, I was laughing along. But that ain't funny anymore once you start losing and once you start playing the way he did on Saturday night.
Bobby, this kind of sounds like what we were talking about, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like we were right.
No.
What are you doing?
You're not right.
What are you doing?
You're still not
what
right.
What are you doing? Bobby, it kind of sounds like we were right, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the shut up and play that came out 3 weeks ago, kind of, all this wouldn't be upon him had he not self-anointed.
Oh, yeah. See? Ring-a-ling-a-ling, it is I, the greatest in the world. And then,
and then 5 for 18. Yeah. I love watching Joel Embiid's game. But that's it, Trey. When he play, like, that can't be a thing. When you play, you are one of the best. What do you mean when you play? Do we ever say that about any of the greatest that have ever been around? Or, you know, Russell Westbrook, when he played, my God, that you can't turn that guy off.
No.
Mm-hmm. Put him on a court, forget about it. You know, you sit down the other night, I go to crack open a beer, and it's 12 to 2. Right off the bat. Where are you? Mm-hmm. Where are you at? Start dominating. Mm-hmm. Do something. Giannis was dominating. I'm not out on him by any means at all. I just don't think he's going about becoming the best player in the world the right way right now.
I'm out on the BS.
Well, I think he's extremely talented. I think Joel is extremely talented. But like you said, the power game isn't there the way you want to see it. But I mean, when you look at somebody, he's an extremely talented player when he wants to be. But I don't think his mindset is it's not where it needs to be for him to say that he's the greatest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're the greatest in the world, you don't even have to say it. You go and you show it on the court. You don't have to sit up here and play these little games with everybody to get yourself going. You just go and you be. You don't have to sit up here and manufacture all of this outside energy to get you going. You just go and you go dominate. That's the first thing I always talk about with my son, man. You got to always have that mindset of, look, I don't care about whoever's in front of me. I am coming to take your heart out.
Yeah.
That's why you need to play all the time if you want to be the best in the game.
Like I kind of said in passing last week, who's he trying to convince the most by saying these things? And I really think it's himself. Like, no, nobody's questioning you. Nobody has ever, in the people that we talk to, both on this show and off, are people really questioning Joel Embiid, over the last couple of years? Like, oh, is he any good? He's not any. It's come a little bit this year only because he's the one saying, I'm the great. I'm the best in the world. I'm this. I'm that. Well, just you're putting undue pressure on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't need to do that.
He's making himself the story. And that's what he is supposed to be able to and has in the past thrived on, making himself the story. The only motivation you really want to see, and I want to see from him at this point because I'm done with the BS. When I say I'm done, I'm not saying I'm out on Brett Brown. I'm not out on Joel Embiid. I know Joel Embiid can still be a phenomenal basketball player. But what I'm done with is the BS. When you look at how he played against the Bucks after proclaiming himself the best in the world, like that's the point where you got to shut up. The only motivation you should need. Is the ball going up in front of you in the opening tip-off of the game. That's the only motivation you should need. Everything else is whatever, Joel. Shut up and play. If you want to be entertaining and funny, yeah, ha-ha, but you better put up on the court because that's what matters most. Not the showmanship. Like, we all like to see you having fun because that's usually when you're at your best. But you shouldn't need the outside influences to make you get to that level. That should just be within you, and then you unleash it once the ball goes up in the air.
You see how draining this is, though? Like how it's, you know, because we talked about this before, how you do all of this to get all the fans on you. Then now you know, I'm the best in the world. You see how up and down this is?
Yeah.
When you can just say, you know what, I'm here, and you stay up there instead of all this up and down, you know, the ebbs and flows of trying to get everybody hyped because you get the fans on your side, and then now they down on you, then you hit, and then it's down. That is draining as a player. And also, too, once you make that proclamation, then what you think the other guys in the other locker room are going to do?
Yeah.
The ones that are really like, oh, you saying that you're the greatest in the world? All right, I'll show you. I'll show you who's the best in the world. 17 points compared to what did y'all...
30-some.
34, 35, something like that. I don't know.
29 minutes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, you know, yeah, you're trying to get yourself going, but think about what you're doing to that other one, the one that ain't saying nothing.
Yeah, there's just, like, no benefit. I tell my kids this, and I'm sure you have too, Trey, and all. Like, think of if there's benefit to what you say. Is there a benefit to calling out another person? Is there a benefit to putting down another person? Is there a benefit to drawing attention to yourself? I've rarely seen it. I don't know why you feel you have to do it. I mean, you're one of the most well-known athletes in the world. Why do you have to draw even more attention to yourself? I don't know. It's just a makeup that I don't understand.
All right, let's get Mark in South Jersey up here. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning, Mark.
Hey, so I wanted to go over a couple points to the Sixers because this has been bothering me for a couple of years now. And I've been I've been, like Trey said, up and down, up and down. So you get caught up in the emotions of the team when they have their runs, but then you get brought back down to reality. Before I do that, just Bob, I want to let you know it's March 27th for Ozark. I've been waiting for a patient.
Oh, great. March 27th. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So, yeah, me neither.
So on the Sixers, okay, I'm Alan Brett Brown, but I've been out since last year. And let me explain why. I'm not just one of those reactors where I say, okay, you know, this is going on now, so now I want him out. I've been out for a reason. Al Horford didn't just hit a brick wall. Al Horford is a veteran in this league who plays tough defense. You saw it as a member of the Celtics against Joel Embiid when he frustrated him. The problem is he's a veteran who recognizes a problem in the organization and the structure and this lack of discipline, just like Jimmy Butler recognized it. If you remember, Jimmy Butler was up there in a press conference with Embiid basically to try to control what he said. Okay, Jimmy Butler recognized that there's a problem with the lack of discipline, the lack of direction, and the lack of Brett Brown doesn't have the ability to get in your face or pull you to the side and say, hey, listen, enough's enough. The antics that Joel has been exhibiting for multiple years now, 2-3 years, you know, when his face got hurt and he had the mask, do you remember the game? He threw the mask on the ground. Yeah. Like, you know, he wasn't going to, like, those are childish things. And you say, okay, well, at the time he's 23, he'll grow out of that. Guess what? He's a little older now and he's doing things even worse. So, It's a problem because veterans don't want to come here because they say, you know what, we like Brett Brown, he's a nice guy, but, you know, nice guys don't win. You got to have the coach that's going to have those tough conversations. You should have pulled Joel aside a year and a half, 2 years ago. He should have did the right things with Ben Simmons, because you can't say, well, I want to take at least 1 3-point shot per game. That's a completely incorrect thing to say to the media, because now you're putting yourself in the light now, because now you said, well, you're going to make them take 1-3 a game. If he doesn't, we're going to hold you accountable. And then you're putting Ben on the spot. Instead, you should be a real coach, have the conversations with him and say, hey, listen, everybody sees these awesome videos that you're putting out in the summertime, shooting threes from all over the place. You know, let's get in the game. Let's figure out how we're going to put plays in place, like, you know, basketball plays, where the real coaches of the old days, and maybe something today, will throw out plays. Like, hey, Brett, let's do that. Instead, you're just looking frustrated and clueless on the sideline. And then Dean Lynam last night on your station had a really good point. She said, you know, if this is going to be an issue with Ben Simmons and he's going to be out and all this problems, why the heck are we putting Shake Milton in? He came in, he was, what, 5-for-9, put up 17 points. He looked good. I mean, there's an option for you. But Brett doesn't know this stuff because he can't think on his feet. And he wants to be really nice and please everybody. And just the only thing I'm going to say about it is this is Elton Brand's time right now, because Elton Brand has been sitting back saying the things he needed to say. I support Brett because that's what he has to say. But I think in the back of his mind, he knows, you know what, we got 25 more games plus a couple playoff games so we get bounced out of the first round for lack of, you know, everything. I'm going to be doing a coaching search. And they need to do this.
Right, Mark, I understand. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Good stuff. But now is not the time for Elton Brand. It's going to be at the end of the season. I would have loved to see him get involved a couple of weeks ago. That's not going to be the case. But the thought that popped in my head about Elton Brand and Brett Brown is, remember when before they hired Elton Brand as the GM, and Brett Brown talked about wanting a partner? He wants a partner, a good partner in that front office. This partnership seems awful, because they went out and got guys that would build bully ball, and yet they're coaching this finesse game. So I don't understand where that partnership went, but it doesn't appear at all to be on the same page.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I seriously want you. When was the last time in any professional sport you saw a team put together and high expectations, you knew they were a really good team, blah, 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 and the title of this team, they don't fit?
The title of the team?
Well, like the title of the 76ers right now is they don't fit. Like, you know, they got these players, but they don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. I seriously have never heard of a basketball team, baseball, hockey, whatever, where you got a bunch of stars from the sport, all-stars, you know, highly paid players is what you have, rightfully or wrongfully so. But when was the last time you heard that somebody doesn't fit? I've never heard that.
Dream team is the only thing that comes to mind. But the Eagles? Even that is not in the same capacity as what this team was.
I've never heard of that.
All right, 610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of the Flyers trade deadline today. And still waiting for a review from people on the new look Philly Fanatic. Time of the Fanatic is 7:14.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Some breaking news, I believe, Jamie. This just came across the Twitterverse. What's it looking like, my friend?
I hope I'm not reading too much into this.
I don't think you are.
All right, so it's the John Clark tweet from the other night. It's a picture of Ben Simmons. He says he's having an MRI on his back today in Philadelphia. Ben was emotional leaving the X-ray room last night. This was from Sunday, John Clark's tweet. There's some level of concern surrounding a possible back injury, according to Woj. Liv Simmons, Ben's sister from Australia, who's over here frequently, you know, supporting her brother.
Yes.
Quote tweets John Clark's tweet and said, "This is bigger than basketball. Some of you," nasty word,
"bleep tards."
Yes.
All right.
"Need to be nicer to my brother. Your bleep bleeps."
Yes.
What?
Holes.
Hmm.
The thing that jumps out to me is, forget about the cursing. I don't care about that.
Right. Well, I do because it shows how
passionate
angry, angry she is.
This is bigger than basketball, which tells me, I mean, I hope I'm not reading into this too much, that maybe there's some concern about the back injury outside of... I mean, I'm not going that'll never, you know, not never play again type of thing. But,
right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
That this is serious.
And that it possibly happened off the court?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, if off the court or maybe in an all-star game.
But when you say game. Bigger than the sport, that implies to me it's serious.
Yeah. Mm. That's a horrifying tweet.
Yeah.
Right. Forget about Kirstie, but it lets you know that she's serious. She's
concerned about
angry.
Her brother. Yes.
Yeah, and telling everyone else to back off
and
they want to
criticize
him. I'm
sure over the weekend there was horrible opinions. I wasn't on Twitter much Saturday night during the game or Sunday morning. I'm sure people out there were idiots and questioned his toughness and did some stupid stuff like that. So maybe that contributed to it. But when she says bigger than basketball, I gasp.
Do you ever get it? You know when somebody else gets in trouble around you and you're like, oh, thank God I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? I look at that and I go, thank God we're not the people that we're talking about. He's tough.
Yeah.
Because I did a soliloquy last
year. Not being nice to him.
A lot of people are.
Sixers Twitter can be a heinous place.
Well, absolutely. But I literally just did a soliloquy on Ben Simmons. Last week about his toughness.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, he plays every
game. He's incredibly tough. He's one of the best, most in-shape dudes in the entire league.
Yeah.
So when she says this is bigger than basketball, that frightens me.
I always tell people, let me know when I'm not fair. If we get a call from the team that says we're being too harsh or whatever, I always say, let me know when I'm not fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I will be. That's when you might even get an apology for it. Because sometimes, you know, you're on 4 hours.
Yeah.
You might say something like, you know what? Hold on a second. Let me
Did
think
I
back.
Actually
say
that? Yeah.
And yeah. But no, I'm like, no, it was fair.
Hopefully she's not being emotional and just defending her brother from, you know, some of this stuff. And hopefully this isn't a big deal. But when I read that, I went, oh.
I don't read that tweet and go, oh, he'll be back next week.
Yeah, exactly.
I read that tweet and go, uh-oh.
She's concerned about her brother.
And the sister feels, just from reading her tweets and such, seemed like she's ready for whoever wants.
She'll take the earrings off and throw down with whoever. I mean,
whoever wants some action.
Come and get it. You mess with one Simmons, you mess with all the Simmons.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, look, if you really want some trouble. I'm your Huckleberry.
So, I guess we'll find out. You know, Bob knows much better than us timeline of this, but second opinion today. Hopefully before the game at some point, maybe 3-4 o'clock-ish, we might hear something from the team.
Yeah, I would guess that because Brett Brown has come out and said, I'm done dealing with health stuff, you know, talk to other people about that. So I'm thinking what the Sixers will do is put out some kind of an announcement, you know, early this afternoon. And then before Brett talks tonight, maybe Elton Brand comes out. If it's that serious, if it's something, you know, that's going to cause a few weeks, a season, whatever it may be, I think that's how it'll play out. I don't think they'll wait until Brett talks to the media at 5:15 tonight to say, like, hey, what's up with Ben?
But yeah. I think everybody has the same fear. I mean, back issues suck.
Yeah.
Trey, you've been through them.
Yes.
Bob's got them. I mean, you know, when you, that affects everything. It affects your entire body.
I messed up my back in, like, freshman year of high school. And now, even, I'll get up and be like, ooh, oh, there it is again.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most fickle thing.
I've had some buddies that have it their entire lives, and it's just, let's hope this results to their good.
Look, in no way are we comparing ourselves to, like,
Ben Simmons. No. But Trey can.
But Trey, that little sport called football. this is something that he hasn't even been in my radar today. Like, the fact that he didn't play and we're worried about it.
I've been nervous. Like, yeah. I woke up Sunday morning and I was just like, I have a bad feeling. And my buddy who I was with, Dave Madden, you know, we went out to lunch yesterday and I just looked at him at one point after reading Twitter and I was like, dude, I just have a bad feeling. He goes, your nerves are making me nervous. Can you stop? And I was like, I wish.
Imagine the nerves of his sister.
Yeah.
The two words you don't want to hear, obviously, are herniated disc.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, the all this is going on and you read into things, that's what the road we might be going down.
All right. So I don't want to speculate.
No.
All I'm going to say is that tweet
is out there.
His sister is, that's nerve-wracking for
and
me.
She's an emotional Twitter
thing.
Yes.
She's called people out.
So it could be nothing, and let's hope it's nothing, but it is out there. She put it out at 5:30 this morning, so cross your fingers.
I haven't seen a happy tweet from her yet.
No, they're mostly defensive, and she'll come and cut you.
Yeah. Please don't make me fly over here for y'all.
Yeah, I'm not going to mess. Remember when they asked Ben about working with his brother as a shooting coach?
Yeah.
And he was like, do you want me to punch you in the face?
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a tough Aussie family?
Yeah.
I got it firsthand. I mean, his brother, you know, was pissed at me when Ben first came to the team and he had the injury. And all I did was repeat what somebody in the league said about the injury and the possibility of Ben missing the year. And his brother attacked me.
All right.
Yeah, who are you to say he's going to miss the year? And
right.
I said, I didn't say that. What I said was somebody told me that they would expect that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they are a defensive family.
Yeah, the Simmons tribe is aggressive. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's great if you're in it.
I just want to get invited over.
I just want to see the candy room.
Let me come hang out with the Simmons family.
After dinner, they usually play the didgeridoo, so you'll fit right in.
Chill out, man. Yeah. You know?
Then maybe they can teach you a couple of new notes.
Yeah, probably do that. You put the hand out here. Put your hand out. Trust me, I'm going to do it tonight.
The next
you
know what I'm saying?
Trust us.
That's not a knife.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
look at this.
Well, that's a knife.
And that's how quickly that conversation devolves.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. That's how we roll. 610-632-0975. We'll chime in. We are getting some feedback on our Twitch channel right now. People talking about the new Fanatic outfit, the Philly Fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with it. I guess I was expecting the worst. I didn't get the worst.
Yeah,
I got a...
kind of looked like he almost went like drag.
As I teased earlier, yeah. One person was like, it's the Elton John Fanatic mascot.
With the star and the poofiness of the eyebrows now. It's blue. Looks like he's got the makeup on.
Huh. Another guy told me, is the Fanatic not from the Galapagos Islands?
Yeah.
Home of evolution?
Yeah.
He merely evolved.
That's
and
true.
And I know, great way to sum that up. I don't think most people on this Twitter are going to get that reference, but I get it.
I've been to the Galapagos. I've seen where he's from.
Oh, really? Did you ride a turtle? I heard you could sit on a turtle and ride it.
Yeah, and his tail is now blue. It looks like a feather boa, you know, thing back there.
Yeah, well, it's also, he dusts off Citizens Bank Park as well, all the seats with that, badass thing.
And now his hands are free, too.
His hands are...
That creeps me out a little bit.
The hands freak me out, and the
scales.
The scales under the arms
like
freak
what is
me out.
Dinosaurus?
I didn't see the scales.
Oh, they scales?
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Scales on the arm.
He looked like you got a little workout in it, too, though.
Yeah, he thinks he's a little buffer.
No, just
he drops sugar
from
his diet.
Just out a little bit, you know. Probably took some carbs out of his diet a little bit. A couple of carbs.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
He went vegan.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, how'd it go,
it's
Trey?
Going well, man.
The weekend was all right?
Yeah, it's good.
No temptations?
Nah, my sister-in-law almost broke me down, man. She came in the house with a thing of Famous Dave's, you know.
Ooh. Yeah.
She tried, you know, but I...
Did she know that you were currently vegan?
No, she didn't know.
Okay.
She didn't know. She was like, hey,
we'll
I got some food.
Pass. All right. Oh, so she got enough food for everybody.
Yeah, it was like a big, you know, a family feast. You know?
I literally had my breakfast Saturday morning was pulled pork I had left over from a little barbecue hit we did recently.
Mm-hmm.
And three fried eggs over top.
That's what's up.
And it was delicious.
Good.
A little sriracha.
Yeah.
Delicious. Let's get Mike.
Throwing that right in your face.
Mike. Yes,
I'm all good.
I know. That's,
Delran, what's happening, buddy?
I'm an oak.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Great, man. What's going on?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, just a couple things. The first, last night, my wife was watching that that show you were talking about, the baby show. I walked in the bedroom. She's watching this baby
it's
show.
It's kind of fascinating, Mike.
Yeah, well, I was like Homer Simpson's dad. When Homer Simpson was at the strip club, I just kind of turned right around and walked right out. When you're watching movies or when you're watching a show and your wife, you're supposed to be waiting for your wife, right? Watch a few episodes and whatever cliffhangers you see, you know, when you're watching it again the second time, just like easily like predict what's going to happen and she will be blown away. If you do it suddenly and don't give it away, you'll seem like you can sell the future. Ben Simmons' sister. I'm done wishing injury on people, so I'll just pray for her soul. Using, you know, that kind of language is kind of in poor taste. It's Bush League. You know, that's why nobody really cares about you and you're nothing in this world. So, pray for your soul. I haven't called back to talk any basketball in this town since I lost it. And
yes.
I got destroyed on Twitter. But I can't tweet anymore for a couple of days because I'm banned. So I'm just going to ask this question, right? I heard both you guys, Mark and Bob, both say you're not out on Joel Embiid. You guys, everyone's out on Brett Brown. No problem there. We're all out on him.
Yes.
What's it going to take for everyone to realize that these antics and the immaturity isn't worth the product that he puts out consistently?
I'll tell you. Can I answer that question, or is it rhetorical?
No, it's both.
First off, don't, because there's one final question I got to ask you. But anyway, to answer your question, I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take more performances like this against the Bucks, where you talk all the jive that you want to talk, and then you turtle up in the big moments. That's what it's going to take.
All right, fair enough.
Yes.
That's going to happen.
All right.
Did you have another question?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Can you, you don't have to name the celebrity. But can you tell people why you can't tweet for a couple days?
So if you guys didn't hear, right, Drew Carey's ex-fiance got pushed off a third-story balcony and died.
I heard about
A celebrity, you know, talk show host went to make, you know, was telling a story, and she made the comment that Drew Carey didn't do it, you know, come on down. And she made, like, this falling down reference. And I thought, was sick. So I told her that I hope somebody pushed her off a third-story balcony. She's come back. And instantly I was blocking Twitter banned for a week. But I'll be back. Come on.
Seemed like it was kind of eye for an eye there. The other person just didn't put it in writing.
Yeah. That's,
they said it. They put that awfulness out into the universe.
Yeah, so that's like whenever I talked to, talked to the Temple kids, right? Uh-huh. Like I talk about Twitter, it's putting it in writing. That's what people have to understand.
The internet has receipts.
Never forgets. Like the mind of an elephant, the internet never forgets. But you're putting it in writing. That's why Twitter is so powerful. That's why you can get in trouble for something, because you're putting it in writing. That's literally what you're doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mike, we won't be hearing from him on the Twitter land in quite some time. Yeah. It's a bad thing.
Yeah. I was just looking at the thing up there. Madison Bumgarner.
Did you see that story?
Rodeo.
Yeah.
How about that?
Rodeo and their alias.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in a little bit. Yeah.
It's got to be against the contract, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
Maybe. That's why he's going under the alias.
Like, so many people can't, go skiing.
What's the best alias from an athlete?
Oh, Mike Vick. Mike Vick, easy.
The all-time.
Mexico.
If there were a Mount Rushmore, it would just be Michael Vick's face four times across.
And three Ron Mexicos.
Yeah.
Oh my
one
God.
With a sombrero, one with a mustache.
It was herpes medication.
I'm not sure what it was.
Allegedly,
because I always confuse it.
Due to HIPAA laws and all, I don't know.
Right,
yeah.
But it's already out there. We're talking about
a confirm or deny.
We're talking about a story, but nonetheless, allegedly.
The best one, though.
I always confuse that with the marijuana in the bottom of the water bottle. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, was he traveling under the name of Ron Mexico? I was like, oh no, wait, that was the pharmacy. Whoops. Mm. I don't know if you know or not, but there is today is the memorial. To shift to a more serious topic.
Okay.
Today is the memorial service for Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant in Los Angeles at the Staples Center.
Mm-hmm.
And Vanessa Bryant, I believe the funeral was back on February 7th, I believe. But the memorial service is today. And today, Vanessa Bryant asked for people to put out tributes. So if people have had tributes from before and they want to retweet them or they want to put them out again on repost them on Instagram or Snapchat, whatever it might be on social media, Vanessa Bryant's been asking for that. And our man Quaz, who was at dinner with us at Grand Cafe L'Aquila some weeks ago, he put together a nice little tribute for us. And he was going to be in studio here. He was in studio with us earlier, but we have all this construction going on. We can't have guests, unfortunately. But Quaz is kind enough to call us back now. And Quaz, I understand you have a little bit of a tribute here for Kobe and Gianna.
Yeah, I do. But Mark, did you say the weed goes in the bottle?
The weed went in the bottom of the water bottle.
In the bottle of the water. Oh, okay.
Bottom. Yeah. That was some years ago, my friend, of the Michael Vick story. Yes.
Yeah, Star Five. You know, I never got a chance to actually, you know, say my piece. Well, you know, for Kobe and his family, but the piece is called, I wrote called R.I.P. Gigi, and you know, I kind of wrote it for, like, the surviving family, so I appreciate you giving me a chance just to go ahead and get it out there. But I just start with, I tell you what, let me bring you up to when I actually had caught up, you see, because I was late on the kid. But I do remember that winter, he's about to go play Chester.
Oh, now, yeah.
Now, being from Del Valle, I had already knew what it was like to have to prepare for a game than to prepare for a fight. And I'm like, ain't no risk now from the main line built to survive. Now, I ain't seen it live, but on Fox 29, they had a show where he threw it down on them. Like he was mad at them. Not even caring about who's sitting, waiting, laying outside the gym. I'm like, young Bo, you win. Now, prominent potential prompt discussions raises issues like, is he suburban or is he local? He answers that with a young blackness. Musical mogul, he global. Later that spring, he won prom king. Homie, see your thing. Now, fast forward to where AI stumped his way over to a 1-1 road split. Heading back home, I'm hearing clips like, yo, did he just say that? You going to cut what out of who? No suburban nut, come and get what you want, and he did. Now I'm like, damn, Youngin wins. The NBA's lamenting a career well documented. 5 times he wins it, another 2 he's in it. A little la-la kid in a blue Dodger lid that trolls his own home with every chance he gets in the cycle he lost. Should have come full circle. And I find him a little less earth-tanning in the golden purple. And baby girl secure in the right arm clutch. Left arm pumps. One of us. One of us. Yeah, we won. I'm going to call that one a tie. On Sunday, January 26, 2020, approximately 2 o'clock hometown time, Cole died on the day the earth stood still in a living embodiment in which we all aspire and strive. And that's being a perfect friend and greatest hero in your child's eyes was an easy realization. Every still image is in it. Father, forgive him for he's repentant. So I offer this prayer to the maker for this liquor. Some things about this guy I don't stand. Please explain them to me later. Because he already had his smile and his impeccable charm. But for now, fall asleep, rest in peace in daddy's arms. Kobe.
Quaz, phenomenal job, man. Great tribute to Kobe Bryant today. I appreciate you sharing that with us, my friend.
Thank you, brother.
All right, absolutely. I'll tell you this. I was with the same group of people on Saturday that I was with the day Kobe died.
Right.
And what we were all talking about, because obviously it was the last time we were all together, was how much, like, in the aftermath that shook this whole area. Like, people didn't really understand, especially some of the younger people didn't understand how intertwined he was in Philadelphia. They thought of him more as, you know, a kid from Italy than they did a kid from Philly. But then listening to all the tributes that came out for Kobe Bryant after the fact, I think people, if they didn't realize before, they certainly realize now how intertwined he is in the Philadelphia area. 610-632-0975 if you want to chime in on the program. Time of the Fanatic, 741.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, before we get into the Flyers trade deadline a little bit, I got to tell you the three best things I saw from the weekend. And one of them has to do with the world of hockey. How would you like this, Trey?
Yes.
Let's just say you're 42 years young. You've been a Zamboni driver for a number of years for a particular hockey franchise. You play a goalie in a men's league. Right? You play between the posts, between the pipes in a men's league. And then all of a sudden, you get the call that you're going to come up and you're going to play as an emergency goaltender for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Got it.
And you're actually going to play in the game.
Do work.
And you play the third period.
Mm-hmm.
You make, what, eight saves? They get eight saves in that third period?
What?
Held off a victory for the Canes?
What?
42-year-old emergency goaltender David Ayers comes up huge for the Canes.
Tell y'all.
What?
I was ready.
You ready?
I say he was ready.
This happened a couple of years ago with a kid from Temple that I think ended up playing for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, he did.
And the Blackhawks, unfortunately, you don't get paid, which is weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, I think you might get like a $250 check.
You get to play in a professional sports game, which is cool.
And generally speaking, they'll take care of you and they'll give you a lot of like memorabilia.
Yeah, I'm sure the players give you sticks and jerseys and all that stuff.
I think the kid from Temple got like a Blackhawks goalie mask. Which, like they were nice enough to give him a mask.
That's cool.
And he was a goaltender for the club league for Temple University. And he was the emergency goaltender listed. Now, I think there's one emergency goaltender listed for a game.
Yeah, I think our buddy Jason Martinez has been it before while he's down there.
Oh, really?
Because he's a men's league goalie.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
So he's been.
I would pay for that.
Yeah, I believe he's been the emergency guy in situations before.
Imagine that. Really? Like, 42 years old, you just thrown into a game.
Yeah, it's wild. Imagine getting thrown. I mean, I haven't looked at the Carolina in the standings, but you know, if you're like in the Flyers right now and they're on a hot streak, a winning streak, and something awful were to happen, or imagine the pressure you would feel.
Well, he goes into the locker room after the game. He goes into the dressing room. Sorry, it's hockey. He goes into the dressing room and is doused with like water by all
that's
the guys.
Pretty cool.
Like that's got to be an amazing feeling. And at one point, he went to not on the ice, but in the locker room. He went to the wrong bench. he went to like the starting goaltender's bench. He was like, no, you're over. I was like, oh, whoops, okay. And he goes over that way. After that amazing, exciting moment of going back in there, I bring it up for two reasons. One, because it's the best thing I saw over the weekend, and the other is because I believe when the Flyers add something at the trade deadline, it'll be along those lines. just for depth. Not a big impact, but they'll get a nice piece. Let's just put it that way. You appear confused.
It's not a locker room?
It's a dressing room in hockey. In baseball, it's a clubhouse. In football, it's a locker room. In basketball, it's a locker room.
Yeah.
And in hockey, it's a dressing room.
Dressing room.
Dressing room.
It's interesting.
So that was a good, great thing I saw. Another great thing I saw from the weekend was the alias that you referenced earlier, Trey, if you'd like to talk about that more.
You would think that cats that had their front teeth taken out wouldn't be so, you know, dressing room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, hockey still, yes.
Dressing room, man, that's...
Sometimes it's just the room.
Yeah, I was expecting hockey. Something a little bit more...
Manly?
No, I mean, dressing room could be... But still, it's just not...
Changing room?
Yeah, like, what is that?
That ninjas your brain, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I don't like it.
This is our
like
beautifying room.
You're hogging the chair.
Everybody
with the
has
lights.
Mirrors with lights around it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is that?
They comb their hair
so weird.
100 times.
I don't like that.
Well, Elaine Vigneault did say Oscar Lindblom looked beautiful yesterday. Said it was good to have him around. He looked beautiful.
Is that the term he used?
Yeah, he did. He said beautiful. I was like, that's really nice.
It was cool to see some of their faces coming off the ice because I don't think they knew he was going to be there.
They didn't. He surprised them.
Yeah, that was cool.
Jake Voracek was very surprised.
Yeah.
A very excited look on his face.
Yeah, that's very cool.
A lot of people walking around the Flyers Carnival yesterday with the Oscar Strong t-shirts on, which was great to see. And then, Trey, here you go. The story you referenced earlier of the rodeo fella.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Saunders? Is that the real name? Is that the name of the alias here?
Yeah, yeah.
This tweet says that Mason Saunders won $26,000 in rodeo prizes. The only thing is that Mason Saunders' real name is Madison Bumgarner, left-handed pitcher, formerly of the Giants?
Yeah.
Where did he end up?
It's a good question.
It's escaping my mind right now.
Yeah, I'm brain farting.
But nonetheless, the World Series MVP, Madison Bumgarner, three-time World Series champion.
Right. He went to Arizona.
Arizona, thank you. Won $26,000 in rodeo prizes.
Which is what, barely a game check for him?
Not even close.
Is it an inning for him?
Yeah,
is,
right?
is it like...
For a pitcher?
Is it a batter? Is it pitches? Like how many? I don't know what that is for Madison Bumgarner. But $26,000 under the alias of Mason Saunders.
That's what he likes to do.
So Mason Saunders.
If the Arizona Diamondbacks find out, which they, everybody, if we're talking about it, so does he still get?
He signed a 5-year, $85 million contract.
What the hell?
With Arizona.
And he's...
And no, the Phillies should not have done that. That's way too much money.
Right, yeah. Before we go off on that.
Yeah. Before somebody go out there and goes, cheap Phillies.
Yeah, right.
No, they shouldn't have done that.
Just cut it off right there.
Yeah.
So apparently he's a rodeo guy in his spare time.
It's awesome. Like, but dangerous?
I think Eric Lindros had something in his contract where he wasn't allowed to go skiing or something like that.
Yeah, it's
like,
right.
There's stuff like that in players' contracts because it's overall. Do you have anything in your contract?
Yeah.
Oh, motorcycles, right?
No.
No? What was it?
I was cool with motorcycles because I laid one of mine down. I don't know. It's just like, you know, you can't go skiing and all this other stuff, you know. Yeah, I really don't even.
Well, your professional body, your professional athlete body, you can't be put at risk.
Yeah.
So he apparently went under an alias of Mason Saunders to ride bulls and like lasso steers and whatever.
Do that rodeo thing.
Do that rodeo thing. You ever been to a rodeo?
No, I've always wanted to.
I want to go, though.
No. There is one in South Jersey.
Yeah, I know it is. Cowtown.
Yeah.
I went to one in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Wow, that's the place to go if you're going to go to
a
rodeo.
That's authentic.
If you're going to go, well, come on.
Well, it's not authentic here, but that's like real deal.
Yeah, that's, we were in Colorado at my wife's family reunion. And they're like, we're going to go to Cheyenne and go to a rodeo.
I'd be very in on that.
And I was like, okay. And immediately I get there, and I'm like, one of these things is not like the other. Like, I'm the only one not wearing, like, jeans and, like, a cowboy hat and a belt buckle, whatever. I think I was wearing sandals. I don't know.
Oh yeah. You
got to wear the boots.
Yeah, man, you got to
get a hat.
It's a lot of horse poop.
You
got to
put you on some Lees.
And get this. I later found out a guy I graduated 8th grade with at Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Doylestown was at the same rodeo. Randomly. Just totally. Anyway.
Can't show up with no khakis.
Because it's wearing shorts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
There were, I believe, cargo. So maybe that fits in.
No.
You definitely stood out.
Yeah. You got to get some blue. You got to have some denim on.
My uncle-in-law was telling me I needed to get a cowboy hat fitted, and I'm like, I'm not bringing that back to Philadelphia.
Should have.
I'm good. I don't need that.
Come on, man.
I'm fine.
You have to. Come on, man. We're going line dancing at some point.
That
would have been perfect.
I got a couple of tweets of people telling me about old Montana West up on 309 in Quakertown. Like, oh, that place was the best. And you know what? It was the best. It was a great time. But
Mason Saunders enters the ring of best doppelganger names.
It's a great doppelganger.
It's very good.
It is good. I will say this about the rodeo thing, and I'm not one to like, hey, don't treat animals cruelly. If you're going to eat cruelly, if you're going to eat an animal, eat an animal.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the rodeo was like off-putting for me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't mind the bull riding. I didn't mind the what do you call it, the steed riding, the buck and bronco, right? I mind the lassoing.
Yeah.
Because that little calf's headband, it's like, dude, damn. All right, I'm going to go get some.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.